KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset, starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, today northwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Tonight northwest winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. And Tuesday southwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, today west winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Tonight northwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. And Tuesday south winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet with rain. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashev, today variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight variable winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet. And Tuesday south winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet with rain. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, today west winds 15 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight west winds 15 knots, seas 2 feet. And Tuesday variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashev, today variable winds 10 knots, seas 1 foot. Tonight variable winds 10 knots, seas 1 foot. And Tuesday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today mostly sunny with highs near 46. Northwest winds around 10 miles an hour. Tonight, isolated showers after 4 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 37. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Tuesday, showers likely, mainly after 10 a.m. Cloudy with highs near 44. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a low tide at 12:51 a.m. at 3 feet 9 inches. A high tide at 6:33 at 6 feet. A low at 2:07 p.m. at 1 inch. And a high at 9:29 at 5 foot 2 inches. Your sun rose at 6:24 this morning, and your sun will set at 10:53, bringing us up to 16 hours and 28 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I am Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaskans marched to raise awareness about missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. And Alaska's long-range ferry plan is ready after 3 years of prep. Stay tuned.
ALIU is proud to sponsor the stories and voices that connect our community. ALIU is committed to building a stronger future for our region. To learn more about ALIU's commitment for a stronger future, visit alucorp.com.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. It's Monday, May 19th, 2025. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk, with some local news from Unalaska. Alaska Native women face disproportionately high rates of violence in Alaska. Today, 9 remain missing from the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands. Earlier this month, Unalaskans marched to raise awareness of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. KUCB's Sophia Stewart Rossi reports.
It's blowing rain in Unalaska, but it's not stopping dozens of locals from taking part in walking with our sisters. They're marching along Airport Beach Road to City Hall. Some are carrying signs that read, "No more stolen sisters, justice for the missing and murdered, and we won't be quiet." Anfisha Tudiakoff is the cultural resource director for the Cowlingan Tribe of Unalaska. She says supporting families impacted by this crisis is crucial.
Well, what they're going through is a lot, and it's happening, and it's unfortunate.
Research shows that at least 64 Ununga people have been murdered since 1959. This is the second year Unalaskans are marching on the island to raise awareness of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, or MMIWG. Walking with Our Sisters is co-sponsored by the Cowlunkan Tribe of Unalaska and the anti-violence organization and crisis shelter, Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence. At the end of the walk, marchers gather inside Unalaska's community center for pizza and drinks. Hi. Unalaska's Unungan dance group, named the Alulam Ahanagan, displays a new regalia for the group. It's specifically made to honor victims and their families. It's a long, bright red dress with a fur neckline and tassels. MMIP for Missing and Murdered Indigenous People is written on the regalia with a line of little red handprints underneath it. Tudiakoff explains the regalia's future use.
So the plans for this is that they're able to wear this during their ceremonies, dance presentations, but also as the year goes on and we get permissions from the families, we'll start putting names on here for those that missing and murdered in the Aleutians.
Looking ahead, Tudiakoff says the Cowlunkan tribe will plan a community response initiative this fall. She says it will bring together Alaska State Troopers, Unalaska Police, the U.S. Coast Guard, and other organizations to develop a coordinated response plan for MMIWG cases in the region. The tribe and USAFE also plan to continue annual Walking with Our Sisters marches for the foreseeable future.
One, two, three. Let's just warm fists up with Lynn.
Yeah!
All right.
In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi.
Alaska's long-range ferry plan is complete after 3 years of preparation. The Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board approved the plan at a meeting on April 25th, and now it goes to the legislature and the governor for consideration. As Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, the plan relies on millions of dollars each year, but where that money will come from is unknown.
The purpose of the long-range plan is to guide the Alaska Marine Highway System, or AMHS, for the next 20 years. It was created with input from over 2,600 Alaskans through surveys and hundreds of public testimonies. The number one concern was reliability. To be reliable, the Marine Highway needs ferries that run, qualified staff to operate them, and infrastructure that's maintained. Craig Tornga runs the ferry system as the Marine Director.
It's a good guideline for us, keeping us on track, and that we have a plan that's got a good maintenance plan in it.
The current fleet needs a lot of maintenance. Of the 9 ferries in the fleet, 2 are over 60 years old and 3 are about 50. The Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board recommended retiring the 62-year-old Matanuska because it's too expensive to repair. Tornga says maintaining the old vessels is a challenge.
So there'll be a great benefit to have a younger fleet here. We spend a lot of time in the yards, and as we get this fleet in line, we'll be spending a lot less time when we're doing maintenance instead of repairing.
Staffing has been a huge challenge for the system in recent years. AMHS currently needs about 30 more officers with full pilotage certification, which means they can guide ferries through specific areas. Outgoing board chair Shirley Marcourt says staffing is being addressed. The plan includes steps for hiring and retaining crew and shoreside workers.
That's going to be a real challenge, but it's not being ducked. It is definitely being focused on, so I think that's really important.
Funding is at the heart of the long-range plan. It calls for 6 new ferries. Those and upgrades to terminals and coastal communities are estimated to cost about $3 billion over the next 2 decades. AMHS also needs millions a year in operating costs. And economist Kitty Berry says the state shouldn't expect revenue like fares to make ends meet.
There should not be an expectation with a public service. This is a public transportation system.
Lately, AMHS has been relying on federal funding, receiving over $700 million through the bipartisan infrastructure law. But Berry says federal funding isn't secure.
As of right now, we have no indication that that operating funding continues. The state of Alaska should be preparing to fund the operations of the Marine Highway System.
The Operations Board recommends that the state forward fund the Marine Highway System for 2 years to allow it to plan better instead of just year to year. Juanetta Ayers is the new board chair.
It is a long-standing desire to have a budgeting process that bridges fiscal years and introduces stability into the system for its to optimize its operations and revenue potential.
Funding for 2 years will need legislative approval. Senator Lyman Hoffman of Bethel co-chairs the Finance Committee overseeing the operating budget. His office staff said that forward funding the ferry system would be a very unique situation. Catherine Keith is the deputy commissioner for the state's Department of Transportation and an operations board member. She says lawmakers will have questions about that kind of budgeting, but she supports it.
This will provide flexibility to AMHS operations in managing their funds.
This new long-range ferry plan will be updated every 5 years, according to state law. It will also be incorporated into a new Southeast Regional Transportation Plan, which was last updated in 2004. The process on that is just beginning. The AMHS Operations Board is also mandated to create a short-range plan for the next 3 to 5 years. They'll focus on that process next. Reporting for Coast Alaska in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Carol Pickett Hull was small in stature, but became a giant in her sport. And not just for her world record at the World Eskimo Indian Olympics in 1989 for the one-foot high kick. Instead, she will be remembered as someone who was more than an athlete, but also worked hard to build the Native Youth Olympics into the success it is today. Hull died at the age of 61 at her home in Seward on May 5th. KNBA's Rhonda McBride talked with friends and former competitors about how she embodied the spirit of the games.
Nicole Johnson met Carol Pickett Hull in the 7th grade. Carol was a junior in high school, and they were
tiny little powerhouses.
Nicole was only 5 feet tall, 4 inches shorter than Carol, in a Inupiaq with a slight but muscular build.
There's nothing that could stop us. Our height, our weight, our ages, nothing stopped Carol from doing what she loved to do.
Carol's specialty was the one-foot high kick, in which you jump with both feet and kick with one foot at a ball hanging on a string, then land on that foot without losing your balance. In the 1989 World Indian Eskimo Olympics, Carol executed a flawless jump to kick at a ball suspended at a remarkable 7 feet. Reggie Jewell remembers that moment.
When she won the one-foot high kick, she was asked if she wanted to go for the record. She had this infectious excitement. Yes, she was jumping up and down. I want to break the record. I want to break the record.
Jewell is a 10-time gold medalist in the WIO blanket toss. He says in the early days of competition, the men got all the attention. But Carol and a group of other young women soon changed all of that.
They were coming onto the scene with this energy, but also with this hunger.
A hunger, Jewell says, to learn about their culture and take pride in its strengths, which was the ability to survive in one of the world's harshest climates. Like many of the games, the one-foot high kick has its roots in living off the land. The high kick could be seen for miles across the tundra, so hunters used it to signal a successful hunt. Carol's 1989 record would stand at WIO until last year, when Emily King, a Canadian from Whitehorse, would surpass her record of 7 feet by one more inch. It was a memorable moment for Greg Nostein, a longtime competitor and game official.
Carol was out there being her biggest fan and said, "You can do it, you can do it."
For more than 3 decades, Carol had cheered on other athletes to beat her record, which Nostein says is at the heart of Native Olympics, to compete not against others, but against yourself to achieve your personal best.
That is the idea of hoping for others, what we hope for ourselves, and that's really just success.
Nostein says traditional hunters always encouraged each other to improve their techniques, a key to everyone's survival. Over the years, Carol was an endless source of encouragement. She coached, she officiated, and became one of the sport's biggest cheerleaders.
She loved teaching games, and that's another reason why so many young women came after her generation.
Gina Kallek met Carol at a WIO competition in 1984. Soon after, they became ambassadors for the sport and put on shows for tourists.
She had dark hair and dark eyes and a gorgeous smile. She sparkled when she came in a room. She just made such an impact on anyone in her sphere.
A sphere that could be surprisingly large, like the time she and Carol volunteered to teach the games to inmates at the Fairbanks Correctional Center.
It goes back to when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And when I was imprisoned, you came to visit me and bring something to you that gives you a little bit of self-confidence and pride in yourself.
When Carol Pickett Hall first entered the sport, the games were held in small gymnasiums. Today, the statewide Native Youth Olympics draws thousands of athletes and fans, a reminder of how a little encouragement can go a long ways. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
If you haven't seen it yet, you can head to KUCB.org for a look at your new and improved community calendar. We hope you like the new layout. Speaking of, let's see what's on that calendar in Unalaska this week. Today, Bunker Hill is closed to all foot traffic for environmental remediation. That runs through 8 this evening. The PCR's annual community cleanup event kicks off today, so get yellow trash bags from any PCR facility, then clean a beach, neighborhood, or roadside for a chance to win prizes. An Unalaska City School District band concert takes place in the high school big gym tomorrow evening from 7 to 9. If you can't make it in person, catch the live stream on KUCB's Facebook page. For info on everything else happening in town, check out your community calendar at KUCB.org. That's the news from Unalaska. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk. For more local coverage and community events, check out our website at kucb.org. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Make it a great week.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, mostly sunny with highs near 46. Northwest winds around 10 miles an hour. Tonight, isolated showers after 4 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 37, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Tuesday, showers likely, mainly after 10 a.m., cloudy with highs near 44, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island? There was a low tide at 12:51 a.m. at 3 feet 9 inches, a high tide at 6:33 at 6 feet, a low at 2:07 p.m. at 1 inch, and a high at 9:29 at 5 foot 2 inches. Your sun rose at 6:24 this morning, and your sun will set at 10:53, bringing us up to 16 hours and 28 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I am Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
A fix, a diesel, diesel, fix me, what a weasel. Oh, oh.
I'm a two-time baby. Love me twice today. Love me two-time girl. I'm gone away. Love me two-time girl. One for tomorrow, one just for today. Love me two-time, I'm gone away. Love me one time, do not speak. Love me one time, yeah, my knees got weak. Love me two-time, girl, last me all through the week. Love me two-time, I'm gone away. Love me two times, I'm gone away. Not speak. Love me one time, baby. Yeah, my knees got weak. Love me two times, girl. Last me all through the week. Love me two times, I'm gone away. Love me two times, baby. Love me twice today. You time, boy. Cause I'm going away. Let me two time, girl. One for tomorrow, one just for today. Let me two time. Thank you.
Here's a song about an Irishman who had a little bad luck. And I've been told this is a true story. Dear sir, I write this note to you to tell you of me plight. For at the time of writing, I am not a pretty sight. Me body is all black and blue, me face a deathly gray. And I write this note to tell you why I'm not at work today. While working on the 14th floor, some bricks I had to clear. But to toss them down from such a height was not a good idea. The foreman wasn't very pleased, he is an awkward sod. He said I'd have to cart them down the ladders in me hot. Now shifting all those bricks by hand, it was so very slow. So I hoisted up a barrel and secured a rope below. But in me haste to do the job, I was too blind to see that a barrel full of building bricks is heavier than me. And so when I untied the rope, the barrel fell like lead. And clinging tightly to the rope, I started up instead. I shot up like a rocket till to my dismay I found that halfway up I met the bloody barrel coming down. Now the barrel broke me shoulder as to the ground it sped. And when I reached the top, I banged the pulley with me head. I clung on tightly, numb with shock from this almighty blow. And the barrel spilled out half the bricks 14 floors below. Now when these bricks had fallen from the barrel to the floor, I then outweighed the barrel and so started down once more. Still clinging tightly to the rope, me body racked with pain. Halfway down I met the bloody barrel once again. Now the force of this collision halfway down the office block caused multiple contusions and a nasty state of shock. Still clinging tightly to the rope, I fell toward the ground and landed on the broken bricks the barrel had scattered round. Well, I lay there groaning on the ground. I thought I'd passed the worst, but the barrel hit the pulley wheel and then the bottom burst. A shower of bricks rained down on me. I didn't have a home, for as I lay there bleeding, I let go the bloody rope. The barrel being unsecured then started down once more, and it landed right across me as I lay there on the floor. It broke three ribs and my left arm, and I can only say that I hope you'll understand why Murphy's not at work today.
My devils, my thorn in my
KSDP Radio, 8:30 a.m. Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on translator K201DA, King Cove. Talking soft, you know all my favorite bitches.
I've been running around in circles, jumping out of cars. They put animals in cages, specimens in jars. Somehow now there's no temptation. Baby nails digging under skin. It don't give me the right sensation.
Nobody else.
Thank you.